Welcome to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong alongside Bill Alexander. Bill, how are you doing? I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Well, we did. Absolutely. You know, as you know, this holiday weekend is my favorite of the year, and it's not because of Black Friday and the shopping. It's because of the fact that families can get together and share time and love with each other without any obligations for gift giving. I mean, it's all about food and being together. And plus, it's a long weekend. So what's better than that? I mean, when you have days off from work and you have a weekend connected to it and now I feel bad for the folks that are trying to travel and be particularly being on airplanes, because I know this is one of the busiest times of the year for air travel. And I understand that Sunday is the very worst day of the year, the busiest day of the year for airline travel. So I feel for those folks, and so we'll give them a little shout out for their. Hopefully, they'll have the patience to get through the day. But for the rest of us who've been smart enough to stay put, you know, we have an easier time enjoying. So that makes a huge difference. So have you gotten out into the shopping malls at all?
You know, we're not crazy into the Black Friday. We'll do some online shopping. You know, we took care of that a little bit this weekend. But, you know, as far as getting in line for things, that's not really our bag. How about you?
Well, I won't name names, but I did take advantage of a Black Friday appliance sale and took care of a Christmas gift that way to one of the boys. And then I took the boys shopping. It was a nice afternoon and evening for us, just the three of us. And so that was pretty nice. And for those who don't know, I have two sons. They're both adults. George, my oldest, is a financial advisor with Edward Jones at North Hills in Raleigh. And I'm very proud of him. And then my youngest son is an attorney in my law office, so Thomas Alexander, and I'm very proud of Thomas as well. So, but anyway, I took them to buy them some clothes, if you will. We were actually looking for suits, and I was disappointed. I was disappointed to the degree that we went to one very nice store and had a good time looking around. And then as we were, getting towards the possibility of purchasing, found out that none of their things were on sale. And I'm just going, well, half the reason we came was for the big sales. So then we went to another store where we knew everything was on sale, and that was a madhouse because it was hard to find what you were looking for. But we were able to find a couple suits for one of the boys, and so that made a little bit of a difference. But at the same time, it was the best part of it was simply being together and enjoying each other, and we had dinner together, and you know that you can't beat those times. Even if you were, we didn't accomplish all our goals, but we did have a good time together. So you know that's what Thanksgiving is all about too. So you know it's good. Now, I do hope that folks took advantage of observing parents and grandparents, because, you know, frankly, as time goes by, we get older. And the fact is that oftentimes when families don't get together all the time, and in other words, they only get together two or three times a year, and sometimes not even that often, you are more prone to noticing the degradation that goes on as we get older, because frankly, when we get into our late 70s, and I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm on my way, we lose brain cells, and it's a normal part of aging. We become a little more forgetful. Now, that doesn't mean we have dementia necessarily, but it does give us a little scare on that scale, if you will. But also, more medical issues happen, and if nothing else, our joints don't work as well, or they hurt, and we have more difficulty walking. Well, here's a test, Jason. What is the most dangerous thing in terms of medical issues for seniors?
I'll say a fall.
You're right. Fall. That's it. It's falling. And that's because, frankly, as we get older, we do not want to acknowledge that we might do better if we had a cane with us. And we certainly don't want to use a walker. And so bottom line is most people don't use a cane until they need a walker. And they don't use a walker until they can barely move without it. So, frankly, it's an issue in terms of getting older. And it's not unusual for seniors to take a nasty fall, break a hip. Sometimes they hit their head. And oftentimes when seniors actually hit their head in the wrong place, you can see a downhill slide in terms of their overall health. But the point is that in those families where the seniors are old enough to have frailty issues and mental capacity issues and the thing, is to get ahead of it and to see an elder law attorney. And of course, I hope they come to see W.G. Alexander and Associates, because that's what we do. It's a lot of what we do. And it's the kind of thing where most seniors do not have the right documents in place for making the kinds of decisions that need to be made when folks are going downhill. And, of course, the biggie that I talk about all the time, and I'll mention it again, is the general durable power of attorney. Now, and I know that most people out there will say, well, I got one of those. I'm good to go. And the fact is that 90% of the folks out there the ones who have a general durable power of attorney, because half the folks have no documents at all. But for the folks who have a general durable power of attorney, the 90% of those documents will not work the way you think they will. They won't work for good asset protection planning from an elder law attorney. And because of that, and you have to understand that most lawyers, in fact, most estate planners, most general practitioners, don't really have a clue about long-term care or the kinds of things that need to be done to protect people's property and to get people eligible for financial assistance if they can qualify. Because oftentimes it means that you need to move property around, and the most often it's from one spouse to the other spouse, which we do regularly. And what will surprise most people is that the typical general durable power of attorney that people have will not authorize transfers by gift from one spouse to the other spouse. Or it will not, it might allow some gifting, but it doesn't allow a transfer of the home from one spouse where most homes are owned by both spouses. But oftentimes it's in their best interest for one spouse, the healthier spouse, to actually own the home. So But frankly, if the spouse who is going downhill doesn't have the capacity to sign the documents in place, then the only remedy at that point is to go to court and ask a judge's permission to do it, which is a very expensive proposition and time-consuming proposition. So the point is that folks need to get ahead of it and see an elder law attorney to get the right documents in place, even if you don't need to. In fact, the point is you want them before you need to use them. That's the key, to have the right documents. And of course, when somebody actually does go downhill, most of the time, we not only move the property, but we also change the last will and testament of the healthy spouse, because it's our job not only to protect the spouse that's less healthy, but it's also our job to protect the healthier spouse, to protect both of them, and hopefully to get one, and sometimes both, financial assistance for long-term care assistance. I mean, that's what elder law is all about. Often, you know, more often than anything else, it's about long-term care and trying to get financial assistance for the payment of long-term care. But having the right documents in place before you need them is really key. That's a big part of it. And of course, this weekend is a weekend where you have the opportunity to visit with, talk with, and enjoy the company of our parents and grandparents. And truthfully, if it's something that you recognize there's a diminution of capacity, or just greater frailty in our loved ones, it's then we need to talk about these issues and hopefully make the call, make an appointment, and have documents reviewed. On rare occasions, people have the right documents, but more often than not, it's because they've seen an elder law attorney. Because elder law attorneys, when it comes to being seniors and having the right documents, do things differently from normal estate plans. And most people don't realize that.
Well, it's important information to have. And if this is something where, you know, you were listening to Bill and you said, yeah, you know, I am one of those folks who I've got that general durable power of attorney, but you've never had it reviewed by an elder law attorney, the last thing you want in a long-term care crisis is to be dealt with some surprise that your documents aren't going to behave the way that you thought that they would. Have your documents reviewed by an elder law attorney. If you've never done that before, get a hold of the team at WG Alexander and Associates. You can go to wgalaw.com to schedule some time to speak with a professional. You can also call the office. The phone number is 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. Also, if you're interested in attending one of their free webinars or free seminar, you can click on the seminars button at wgalaw.com. They do these the second Wednesday of every month. The next set of webinars and seminar is happening on Wednesday, December 11th. If you would like to learn more about long-term care assistance, this is helpful information for families dealing with a long-term care crisis and seeking financial assistance. Covers Medicaid, VA benefits. It's very, very helpful, informational webinar that can really help you out, because so much of this stuff is sort of surrounded by half-truths and myths. This is a great source of credible information. You can go to wgalaw.com, click on that seminars button to sign up. In the afternoon is another webinar, and that covers asset protection and trust planning. In the evening, it's an in-person seminar with Bill at Independence Village of Old Raleigh, covering legacy planning, a bit of a hybrid between the content of the two webinars. The webinars and the seminar are all free to attend. There's no cost associated with these. All you need to do is register in advance, and you can do that by going to wgalaw.com and clicking on the seminars button. You can also call the office as well, 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. 7000. A short break and back with more. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. And we'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Be sure to go to WGALaw.com to learn more about WG Alexander and Associates, as well as their free webinars and seminar happening on Wednesday, December 11th. If you would like to learn more about long-term care assistance, asset protection and trust planning, or legacy planning, these are all wonderful free opportunities for you. Go to WGALaw.com and click on that seminars button at the top of the page. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, we're having a discussion related to issues of getting older and visiting with family here over the holidays. And maybe we notice that loved ones, or maybe we're the loved one that's getting a little bit more frail.
Well, that's true. But before I get back into that, let me also say, for those folks who have listened to my radio show for many years, most folks know that for years and years and years, my radio show was on Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock. And I want to let folks know that, again, my radio show will be at 11 o'clock on Saturday mornings. And I'm so happy for that. But I would tell folks to check out my website for a big announcement on where to find my 11 o'clock Saturday morning radio show. And of course, my website is wgalaw.com. Easy to get to. And check it out, not only for my webinars and seminars, but for my radio show as well, because I want folks to be able to find me, and that's what it's all about. But I am super delighted to be back on the air on Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock. Now, with that said, this is a gifting season, no question about it, and it's a gifting season for young and old. You know, in fact, Black Friday is such a big deal because what's the one that's called on Monday? What's that one?
Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday, same kind of thing. It's the kind of thing where there are lots and lots of deals out there to get us to go out and buy for ourselves and our loved ones. And so while I'm all for that, there is a special message for seniors when they get to the point of being worried about the potential need for long-term care. Because when we get into that age bracket, and of course that age bracket can vary a whole lot for different folks, because quite frankly, there are folks that have to start worrying about those issues in their 60s and 70s, and then there are other families that actually don't have anything to worry about until people hit into their 80s and even 90s. And so, and then there's some lucky folks that are completely healthy and lucid even into their hundreds. And so, but the fact is the great majority of us at some point as we get older will in fact have long-term care issues. And if it's not us, it'll be our spouse. And so it makes it tough. But here's the deal. And this is about gifting. And there are a lot of folks that will say, well, I don't like what he's saying, because the fact is that if we can afford it, we do enjoy giving our children and our grandchildren gifts so that we can actually see them enjoy the gift that we're able to give. I mean, I get it. I mean, I have a grandchild myself. And so it is meaningful for us to be able to do that. But here's the thing. If we're also worried about long-term care issues in the not too distant future, then there are a couple things that we need to change in terms of the way we do things. And so when it comes to Christmas giving and the like, in our gifts to our children and grandchildren need to be very modest. And what I mean by that is because, frankly, if we apply for Medicaid to help us pay for our care, and of course, that's one of the things that W.G. Alexander and Associates does. We help people get Medicaid and protect their property. So, but the point is that there is a five-year look back. And so what's the Department of Social Services looking for as it relates to a five-year look back? Well, what they're looking for are gifts to our children and grandchildren. The one person that they're not looking for are gifts or transfers from one spouse to the other spouse. That's perfectly fine for us to do. There's no issue in doing that. But when it comes to what we give our children or our grandchildren or anyone other than our spouse, that is what the five-year look back is all about. Because what they do, with the one exception, now, well, I guess there's two exceptions. The biggie is we can give anything we want to or transfer anything we want to our spouse. There is no sanction or penalty for doing that. But, and the other sanction is they don't penalize normal gifting to our children and grandchildren. When I say normal gifting, I'm talking about small, inconsequential gifts, you know, for Christmas, birthdays, anniversaries, graduation, things like, in other words, those times where we would normally have a gift for someone. But here again, I'm talking about modest gifts, like something that might cost $50 or $75. Now, to the degree that our norm is $50 or $75, can we just turn around as when we're 80 years old and make a $500 gift or a $5,000 gift? And the answer is absolutely not, unless we're not worried about our ability to be eligible for Medicaid, because anything beyond a modest gift, it will be a sanctioned or penalized transfer. So what DSS does is they add up all the gifts that we have made from 5 years from the time we apply for Medicaid. They add all the gifts up, and then they divide by a penalty divisor to determine how many months they're not going to give us Medicaid, even if we're otherwise eligible for Medicaid. So in essence, what that means is you can't give everything away and be eligible for Medicaid, not at least for 5 years. So, you know, and is it a good idea to give everything away? Heck no, it's not a good idea. That's the worst idea you can possibly do. But the point is that you need to keep your, as we get older and we start worrying about these kinds of potential issues, we need to make sure that our gifts are simply modest, normal gifts, and recognize that our children will get a nice a bigger inheritance because we don't give them quite as much while we're alive. And what we give to them at when we die is no issue as it relates to Medicaid at all. It's only during our lifetime that they're actually looking for those types of gifts to sanction or penalize. And so that's a really important factor for folks to know. Now, there's some other things when it comes to gifting that I want to talk about, because there's some other issues when it comes to gifting that folks don't realize, because it is so often that people come to, you know, to the office and they say, well, I want to transfer my house to my children now so I don't have to worry about Medicaid estate recovery or I want to protect my house by transferring it now. And quite frankly, more often than not, I have to talk people out of that and tell them why that's a bad idea. So when we come back, that's what we'll talk about.
So often on this show, we mention the phrase, you don't know what you don't know, and unintended consequences of making a big gift transaction like that, it can have some pretty serious consequences, and we're going to get into some of those, so do stick around, and if you are interested in learning more about the WG Alexander & Associates free webinars and seminar happening on Wednesday, December 11th, be sure to go to wgalaw.com and click on the seminars button at the top of the page. It's very easy to register for either of the webinars or the in-person seminar happening at Independence Village of Old Raleigh on the evening of the 11th, covering legacy planning. In the morning, it's the webinar, and that covers long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, a lot of what we're talking about right now with related to gifting. Is you're going to want to make sure that if you want more information related to that, sign up for the webinar. And in the afternoon, it's a webinar dedicated to asset protection and trust planning. Learn more by going to wgalaw.com and clicking on the seminars button at the top of the page. A short break and back with more. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. And we'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. WGALaw.com is where you can learn more about WG Alexander & Associates, and it's very, very helpful information related to getting a hold of an elder law attorney. Maybe you've got some documents that you need to have reviewed, or if you've never had them reviewed by an elder law attorney, or maybe you're someone who doesn't have any documents. Schedule some time to speak with a professional on the team at WG Alexander & Associates by going to WGALaw.com. You can also find information about their free webinars and seminar. Learn more about long-term care assistance, asset protection, trust planning, legacy planning, all helpful information. And they're all free. Free to sign up for the webinars and the in-person seminar. Go to WGALaw.com. Click on the seminars button to learn more. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, we are talking about gifting and how, you know, it's that time of year and we've got good intentions in our hearts and in our minds, but sometimes those good intentions can lead to some big mistakes.
No question about it. And there are many professionals who unfortunately give bad advice when it comes to long-term care. There are many professionals that will tell you that the only way to be able to get eligible for Medicaid is to gift or transfer, you know, most of your property into an irrevocable trust at least 5 years before you would ever need care. And now, do I think that's true? Absolutely not. I think in almost every case, that is a horrible idea. Now, with that said, why do I say that? Well, here's the thing. Number one is the fact that you cannot create a trust where you or your spouse is the beneficiary. Now, so what does that mean? That basically means that, assuming you have children, you make your children the beneficiaries of the trust that you're creating, income and assets. Now, what that means, obviously, is if you have a long-term care issue and your income is not enough to pay for it and you have to reach into your nest egg, you don't have a nest egg anymore. It's in this trust that you've created, and your children are the beneficiary, which basically means that the trust income or principal must be distributed to your children. And then they have to turn around and hopefully support you or pay for those things that you need that your income is not enough to pay for. Well, frankly, I think in most cases, that's a bad idea. Number one, the kids end up having to pay the income tax, but that's the least of the problem. The fact is that you have to depend on them to pay for what needs to be paid for instead of being in control of it yourself. And that, to me, is an awful idea. Okay. There are better ways of taking care of things. So the other thing is that so many folks don't realize that there is a bigger risk of needing to use your nest egg for care when you're not eligible for any government assistance. And oftentimes, you're not going to be eligible for assistance when you're trying to pay folks to take care of you at home or if you need assisted living. Oftentimes, and that can be very expensive and more than what our income is. So we need a nest egg in order to pay for that care. Because so many people think if they give everything away that certainly the government's going to come in and take care of them. And the fact is, that is so not true. So, you know, some folks can get help. And now, when people need nursing facility care, which is the one place none of us want to go to for good reason, then we can get most families on Medicaid very quickly in what we call crisis planning, particularly if we have the right documents in place. And that's one of the reasons why we talk so much about you better get your documents in place and have the right documents in place. So if you need crisis planning, it can be done. And if you're in a situation where you are incapacitated, then you have a power of attorney that will allow a loved one to do those things that you would have done yourself had you had the capacity to do it. So here you go. So now, what about other gifting issues? There are other gifting issues, and it shouldn't surprise you that the Internal Revenue Service is interested in what you do with your property. Okay. So let's say you want to transfer your home. So you put your home into a irrevocable trust, like you've listened to some of these other idiots and you've actually done that. More often than not, you have to file a gift tax return, because if it's over, well, this year it's $18,000. Next year it's $19,000. So assuming that whatever you've transferred is over that amount, there's a gift tax return due in most cases. Not every case, it just depends, but in more cases than not. Now, the bigger issue, let's say you've transferred your house because somebody talked you into transferring it to your children or one of your children to, quote, protect it. Well, the fact is that in more cases than not, that transfer, instead of protecting it, is going to cost tax dollars. Now, while a gift tax return might be due, it's not likely that anybody's going to actually have to pay gift tax, but you do have to file the return and pay somebody to do that for you, and so there's a cost there. But the bigger cost is that when you transfer property, whether it's your home or your farm or stock portfolio or whatever it is, you are also transferring your income tax basis. Now, what is your basis? Your basis is the money you've got into that property. So let's say that you bought your home 25 years ago for $200,000. And today it's worth $500,000. Well, that's not an unusual kind of thing. And if I transfer it to my children, my children's basis is $200,000. Now, the other thing, too, is because it's my home, I get an exemption if I need to sell my house. I don't have to pay income tax because it's my primary residence. But fact is, it's not the primary residence of my children, so they don't get the 121 exemption on the sale of your primary residence. Okay, so that basically means if I need the, you know, if I have to go to assisted living and I don't have enough money to pay for it, then my house needs to be sold. Okay, so the bottom line is if my house is sold by my children who then own it in order to help me pay for my assisted living, they have to pay income tax because, don't forget, that basis went with the transfer. So their basis is 200. They sell it for 500. So there's a $300,000 profit. So that's called a long-term capital gain. And okay, so what's the tax rate? Well, you got to pay 20% federal and 4% state. So out of that $300,000 gain, guess what? You've got $72,000. $72,000 of income tax, federal and state, because you gifted it. Now, if you had kept it and sold it, you and your wife would not have had to pay any income tax whatsoever. And zero tax is a whole lot better than $72,000, right? So, okay. So what I'm getting at is these transfers without good tax advice and also understanding the dynamics of what you're doing makes a difference. Now, most people know that if your children inherit the house at your death, they get what's called a step up in income tax basis. So what that means is if you sold it during your lifetime, no income tax. If your children sell it after your death, again, no income tax. But if you transfer it, then you've got an issue, a big issue, and lots of taxes that are unnecessary and stupid.
That's why you should get a hold of an elder law attorney before you consider making any sort of large gift or major transaction or transfer like that. It can really help you down the road to make sure that you're not setting someone up for a major, major tax implication there. If you would like to get a hold of the team at WG Alexander & Associates, you can go to WGALaw.com. It's easy to schedule an appointment and get a hold of the team here to sit down and have a chat about your particular situation. You can also be sure to register and attend the free webinars and seminar that are happening on Wednesday, December 11th. If you would like to learn more about long-term care assistance, or based on this conversation, maybe it's the asset protection and trust planning webinar that you would like to attend, or maybe you're interested in legacy planning and you want to attend the in-person seminar happening that evening at Independence Village of Old Raleigh, you can go to WGALaw.com and click on the seminars button to register and attend. There's a lot of information there on that landing page if you want to just read up on the different webinars and the in-person seminar and what you can learn in each one. They're very, very informative and it's free to attend. You don't have to worry about paying anything to attend any of the webinars or the seminar. Go to WGALaw.com, click on that seminars button to learn more. A short break and back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back. Listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Learn more about WG Alexander & Associates by going to WGALaw.com. WGALaw.com. Schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney or learn more about their free webinars and seminar. WGALaw.com. Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, we've covered a number of topics so far today.
Yeah, so far. And again, I wanted to remind folks that they can catch my radio show, Asset Protection Today, at 11 o'clock on Saturday mornings. Check out my website for a big announcement on where to find my 11 o'clock Saturday morning radio show. And of course, my website is GALaw.com. And I hope folks will remember that and join me on Saturday mornings. Now, what's another issue for seniors that's hard for us to actually get into our heads and change how we do things? Well, here's the thing. A lot of us go to the bank every paycheck and get $100 or a few hundred dollars to pay for stuff. And there's typically it's because we just want to have some cash in our pockets if we need it, and you know, so that we can use it from time to time. However, as we get older and we start worrying about long-term care issues, we need to stop using cash. And so we have to stop that habit and use a debit card or a credit card. And of course, I like credit cards better. As long as you pay it every month in full, a credit card actually is a little safer than a debit card. But what I'm trying to get at is that what the Department of Social Services is looking for when we apply for Medicaid is they want to be able to follow the money. And so if it's not transparent and cash is not transparent, in other words, they don't know what we've done with their money unless we've kept accurate records and receipts and things like that in terms of what we do with our cash. And nobody does that. Okay, so fact is, if we go and we get cash, they presume that we're giving that cash to our children or grandchildren, and it's hard to rebut that presumption. So the fact is that we need to stop using cash when we get older and start worrying about the potential for needing long-term care. We just need to use a credit card instead. Now, the other thing that I want to mention that's so important is the Corporate Transparency Act. If you have an LLC or a corporation, you must go online and do what it says to do, because there's a $500 a day fine for non-compliance. And go online. Just Google Corporate Transparency Act. Make sure you go online. It's all online. It's all free. There's no cost to do it other than it's a pain to get it done. And it also includes entities that you wouldn't expect. Like, for instance, our homeowners association must file under the Corporate Transparency Act. Also another one is if you have an LLC or a corporation and you've assigned it to a trust, then you must tell the government all about your trust as well. So the bottom line is, while it's a pain, I hate it, I hope it's unconstitutional, it's important for folks to comply with the law. And don't ask me to do it for you, but the fact is it must be done, and you need to go online and get it done now before the end of the year.
Clock is ticking, and don't mess around on that one. You don't want to find yourself on the wrong end of some of those fines there. So be sure to do that. And don't forget, you can go to WGALaw.com and find information about their free webinars if you would like to learn more about long-term care assistance. You know, Bill mentioned that deal with cash. There's a lot of helpful information that are similar to those little nuggets involved in the free webinar. Be sure to go to WGALaw.com and click on the seminars button at the top of the page. Quick break and back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Stick around. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. If you would like to have your documents reviewed by an elder law attorney, or maybe have your documents drawn up, be sure to go to WGALaw.com. And while you're there, check out the free webinars and seminars. Those are happening on Wednesday, December 11th. You can learn more by clicking on the seminars button at WGALaw.com. Learn more about long-term care assistance, asset protection, and trust planning, as well as legacy planning The webinars and seminar are free. Learn more at WGALaw.com. Click on that seminars button at the top of the page. That's going to do it for us today. On behalf of Bill Alexander, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you for listening to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. Have a wonderful day.